We're going to read from the Bible now, from Luke chapter 18, starting from verse 18. You can find that one on the inside of your information sheets that you received when you came in. May you pray as we come to God's word. Lord, thank you that you speak to us this morning. Please calm our hearts and minds and help us to listen to you, Lord. And please give us the courage through your Spirit to put these things into action in our lives. Amen. Luke chapter 18 from verse 18. And a ruler asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these I have kept from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, said, "How difficult is it for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" But he said, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." And Peter said, "See, we have left our homes and followed you." And he said to them, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times many more in this time and in the age to come eternal life."
Thank you, Murray. In the early days of Christianity, this was a very popular story. We know that because it's in Matthew's Gospel, it's in Mark's Gospel, and it's in Luke's Gospel. And in the three Gospels, it's almost exactly the same. Not that I think people copied off each other, but I think this event, this encounter with this strange stranger who we don't know all that much about, was very popular. I can imagine if I was a little kid after Jesus died, I'd be saying to my father, "Dad, did Jesus really talk about camels going through needle holes?" And out would come the story. And we would all be told, when did Jesus tell that little illustration? When did Jesus give that little illustration? So this story sort of carries its own weight. But it's also an interesting story because I think of the person who Jesus met. Luke is the only one who says he's a ruler. The others just say somebody. Now, Luke was not a Jew, and I think that might be important here because I'm trying to work out when I read this, I want to know as much about this ruler as I can, even though the story is so brief. Other people have done much more than I can, and in the next slide, you can actually buy a book called The Rich Young Ruler, a whole book about him, and he goes on all these adventures, multiple stories. Well, this is all we've got. This is all the information. How long did it take Murray to read? Just a couple of minutes. Now, the word ruler is very vague. It could be used of a king. It could be used of a judge. It could be used of your soccer coach. So it's a very vague word, but Luke wants us to know that this is someone important. This is not just anybody that's walked up to Jesus. This is someone who perhaps was well known, perhaps even known to Jesus. Perhaps by the clothes he was wearing, people could immediately realise what sort of job this person had, and he was someone significant. Now, I think this fellow's not a Jew. And I know that when I say that, I'm going against nearly all the books you can read, because most people say, well, he's got to be a Jew, he's talking about commandments. I think that's the very opposite. He comes up to Jesus and says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I don't think a Jew would ask that question. Jews in Jesus' day assumed they would inherit eternal life. Why? Because they were Jews. It was their birthright. And so for someone to say to a Jew, oh, you're not going to have eternal life, this would have been quite strange to a Jewish thinking person. So most Jews would have assumed they inherit the kingdom. That's what being a Jew is. So I don't think a Jewish person would have come up to Jesus and said, Jesus, I want to inherit the kingdom. This is what a non-Jew would say, and a non-Jew would say, well, is it fair? Is it fair that I've done it? You know, I live a pretty good life. I'm doing all the right things. My only problem is my mother. My mother wasn't a Jew. So I'm not a Jew. Does that mean I'm going to miss out? Does that mean God is going to penalise me because of my family? This seems very unfair. And I think Jesus knows exactly what this man is thinking, and I think this man is a judge. Now, it doesn't really matter if I'm right or wrong, but it helps me to try and work out what sort of person would ask these sort of legal questions about inheritance. I think he has to be a non-Jewish person. And Jesus starts talking about God being good. And I think the whole point of that little interchange is that Jesus is saying, if God is good and he's a good judge, don't you think God knows how to act fairly and wisely and carefully? So on the day of judgment, when God is going to judge this man, Jesus says, don't you think God will do the right thing by you? He's not going to be just influenced by your family. And then Jesus asks this, this judge, this important, significant person, about the commandments. But I notice, I'm sure Jesus knew all 10 commandments, but he doesn't ask about all 10. He asks about adultery, murder, theft, lying, and family life. These are what you might call the universal commandments. These are the sort of thing everybody thought was the right thing to do. It wasn't just the Jews who were against murder. The Romans were against murder. It's not just the Jews who are against stealing or lying. And it wasn't just the Jews who thought that family life was important. This was something that most people would have assumed everybody was interested in. See, Jesus doesn't ask this non-Jewish judge, do you keep or have you kept the Sabbath? Because I think the answer would have been, well, not really. My family has never kept the Sabbath. Because that's something only Jews did. The Romans thought that the Jews were stupid and crazy and incredibly lazy. They wouldn't even work 7 days a week. And when it came to military campaigns, all you had to do was fight the Jews on the Sabbath and you'd win automatically because they wouldn't fight back. How crazy is that? So Jesus doesn't ask this non-Jewish man, have you kept the Sabbath? But he's asked him all the universal commands. So here we have a judge, who I don't think is a Jew, who says, look, I've been doing all the right things all my life. I've been against murder, I've been against lying, I've been against stealing, I've honoured family life, and that's what I've done as a judge. Why would God penalise me just because I'm not a Jew? Then Jesus tells this man there's one thing he needs to do, and I hope you realise that Jesus never expected this man to do it. For a start, it's impossible. And secondly, Jesus never did it himself. And do you really think that Jesus would ask people to do things that he wasn't prepared to do himself? See, he says to this rich judge, or whoever he is, sell all that you have and distribute to the poor. Now, that's impossible. What happens if you sell all that you have and give it away? What have you got left? What are you wearing? You're just standing in the street with no clothes and no food and no nothing. It's impossible. And this rich man would have known that. Jesus would have known that. But we often find in Jesus loves to, even in his parables, he loves to exaggerate. He loves to make a point. He loves to get you thinking. He loves to challenge you. Because what Jesus actually wants this man to do is come, follow me. See, that's what Jesus actually wants him to do. Jesus says, if you really want to know the answer to these questions you're asking me, you come and follow me, you watch, you listen, you'll get the answer. Now, I started by discussing how this parable, or this event, I don't think it's a parable, but this event was so interesting to people, and the next picture, I think, proves the point. Just as it attracts people today, the idea of a camel trying to go through the eye of a needle, it would have attracted people's attention in Jesus' day when he said it. Kids would have been asking. There would have been people drawing it in Jesus' day. There would have been people arguing whether if you can get halfway through, can you get the other half through? I don't know. So this is a fascinating story. But there's another reason that this story, I think, would have been interesting to people in Jesus' day, and it's to do with where it happens in Luke's gospel. Now, in the next slide, I've drawn a little picture of Luke's gospel. I hope you can all see that. We've got some nice colours there, but you've got the birth of Jesus. That takes up three chapters at the beginning of Luke's gospel. You've got the death and resurrection of Jesus and the trial. That takes up five chapters at the end of Luke's gospel. But in the middle, you've got 11 chapters, which is the blue part. 11 chapters of Luke's gospel is about Jesus heading up to Jerusalem. So for almost half of the gospel, more than half if you count the death and the trial, Luke tells us that Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. And Luke goes out of his way to tell us that that's because Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he chose particular parables to teach at that time. There were other times when Jesus went to a village and the village told him to go and not stay. Why? Because they could see he was more interested in going into Jerusalem than staying in the village. There were other times when people who were sick came to Jesus for healing and Jesus said, no, not today, I'm heading to Jerusalem. He didn't have time to wait. So for more than half of Luke's gospel, Jesus is heading to Jerusalem. And I think he's gathering a group around him and he's going to arrive in Jerusalem. Well, in Wentworthville, he's going to arrive there in 5 weeks' time, November the 10th, I think it is. We're going to get Jesus to arrive in Jerusalem. But In Luke's gospel, he arrives for Passover. Now, there would have been a lot of other people going to Passover anyway. So whether they were just joining in with Jesus and heading to Passover as well. But my guess is that by the time Jesus gets to Jerusalem, he's got hundreds of people following him. So there's hundreds of people going to Jerusalem. So as he goes from village to village, a few more come, a few more come, a few more come. And they are wondering, what is Jesus going to do when he gets to Jerusalem? Now, he actually tells his disciples, I don't know whether he tells everybody, but he tells his disciples, by the way, when I get to Jerusalem, I'm going to get killed. And you think, well, what's all the excitement? Why would you want to go keep on going if you're going to be killed? But he says over and over and over to his disciples, when I get to Jerusalem, not only am I going to be killed, I'm going to be tortured and persecuted and rise from the dead. And he's got hundreds of people going with him, I guess for different reasons, but all of them want to see what is Jesus going to do when he gets to Jerusalem, when he confronts the Roman government, people like Herod and Pontius Pilate. What is Jesus going to do when he gets there and confronts this most powerful government and army in the world as they knew it? And Jesus says to this ruler who comes to see him, why don't you come to Jerusalem and see what I'm going to do? I think Jesus could have said, it's only going to take a week because we're going to be there in a couple of days. And where the star is on the picture, that's where this incident is occurring in Luke's gospel. It's occurring just days before Jesus arrives in Jerusalem. He's been heading there for months and hundreds of people are coming with him. Everybody knows he's heading to Jerusalem. Hundreds of people are going with him. And Jesus says to this rich ruler, why don't you give up everything, cancel all your appointments, come to Jerusalem and see what I'm going to do. Now, unfortunately, the ruler decides he doesn't want those sort of answers. He doesn't want to go to Jerusalem and see what Jesus is going to do. That is why I assume we're not told all that much about him. We're not told his name. That's to protect him, because when Luke's gospel was written, this guy would have still been alive. So what did he miss out on by not spending those couple of days following Jesus to Jerusalem? Now, if this man is a judge, and I think he is, what he would have seen is a trial. And he would have seen his own hero, Pontius Pilate, acting as a judge over what turned out to be one of the most important trials of history. And he would have seen how Pontius Pilate was corrupt and egged on by a corrupt crowd. And the people who followed Jesus to Jerusalem were outvoiced and outnumbered. So he would have seen the trial. He would have seen Pontius Pilate, the great judge, make a shocking decision of declaring an innocent man guilty. He would have seen the guilty verdict. He would have seen the immediate death penalty enacted. He would have also seen Jesus crucified on a cross. Now, for this ruler, something happened on that cross I think would have really interested him. Because his original question to Jesus was, what can I do to become a Jew? That's the question. How can I inherit Jewish blessings when I'm not a Jew? And he says, I think I've lived a pretty good life. And I think he had. What he would have seen on the cross is a conversation that Jesus had with one of the other people that was being crucified with him that day, who I also think was not a Jew. And the reason I think he wasn't a Jew is because of the conversation he had with Jesus. See, people were laughing at Jesus. People on the ground were laughing at Jesus. The people dying there with him at one stage were laughing at Jesus. But then one of the guys that was being crucified that day said to Jesus, "Jesus, I think you're a king. And when your kingdom comes, I want to be in it." Now, you think that's a very strange thing to say, because he would have realized that Jesus was going to die any moment. So this reveals an enormous faith in Jesus, that he realizes that, okay, Jesus, I can see you dying. You might die before me, you might die after me, but it's only going to be a matter of hours and we're both going to be dead. And he says, when you become a king, I want to be part of your kingdom. And our ruler would have heard Jesus' answer. Jesus' answer was, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, that's not a Jewish way of speaking. Paradise is not what Jews call heaven. Jews call heaven, heaven, or the kingdom of God. It's used hundreds of times in the Bible. That's why I think that Jesus is talking to a non-Jewish person. And he's realizing, I won't talk about heaven, I won't talk about the kingdom of God. I'll use a non-Jewish phrase, paradise, hardly ever used in the New Testament. So our ruler would have realized that when this non-Jewish man was being executed and he said to Jesus, I think you're a king, and when you come as king, I want to be part of it. Jesus didn't say, well, who's your mother? Are you a Jew? Have you kept the Sabbath? Give us your life story. No, what the ruler would have seen, he would have seen Jesus just give an answer, a decision. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He would have seen Jesus, the judge, the one who has authority to say who goes to paradise. And Jesus seemed to base his whole decision on the fact that this man said that Jesus was a king, and that when you come into your kingdom, I want to be part of it. That seemed to be enough for Jesus to make a decision. Jesus didn't ask him what sort of person he was, who his family was. He didn't ask him whether he was a Jew or a Roman or Philistine. Those sort of questions were irrelevant to Jesus. All that mattered to Jesus was that this man thought that Jesus was the king. The dying Jesus. The man who would be dead in moments was the king who was going to come in his kingdom. So we have a very interesting story here. There's more to this story than camels trying to squeeze through bits of metal. Here's a non-Jewish man who is so close to understanding what Jesus is about, but he just doesn't want to take the next step. He doesn't want to go with Jesus and find out more information. He actually doesn't even want to see Jesus die. And it would seem to me that what Jesus says to this rich man, come follow me, is actually what Jesus says to every one of us. If you want to understand heaven, if you want to understand big picture, come to the cross and see what happened on the cross. See Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See Jesus say, it is finished. The victory is final. See Jesus say to this outsider, today you'll be with me in paradise.